From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text comes from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. A little thorn may cause much suffering. A little cloud may hide the sun. Little foxes spoil the vines, and little sins do mischief to the tender heart. These little sins burrow in the soul, and make it so full of that which is hateful to Christ, that he will hold no comfortable fellowship and communion with us. A great sin cannot destroy a Christian, but a little sin can make him miserable. Jesus will not walk with his people unless they drive out every known sin. He says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Some Christians very seldom enjoy their Savior's presence. How is this? Surely it must be an affliction for a tender child to be separated from his father. Art thou a child of God, and yet satisfied to go on without seeing thy father's face? What? Thou the spouse of Christ, and yet content without his company? Surely thou hast fallen to a sad state, for the chaste spouse of Christ mourns like a dove without her mate when he has left her. Ask then the question, what has driven Christ from thee? He hides his face behind the wall of thy sins. That wall may be built up of little pebbles as easily as of great stones. The sea is made of drops. The rocks are made of grains. And the sea which divides thee from Christ may be filled with the drops of thy little sins. And the rock which has well nigh wrecked thy bark may have been made by the daily working of the coral insects of thy little sins. If thou wouldst live with Christ, and walk with Christ, and see Christ, and have fellowship with Christ, take heed of the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Jesus invites you to go with him and take them. He will surely, like Samson, take the foxes at once and easily. Go with him to the hunting.
Christ becomes to hard a task. failures in my room and strength.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, God's Mighty Work of Salvation, part of a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. His text is chapter 1, verse 13, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In this verse, the apostle is describing the due condition of those who believed in Christ for salvation. The first thing that Dr. Cairns has noted is that salvation is a divine work. The text emphasizes that the power that frees sinners is greater than that power that has been holding them captive, for it is the power of our omnipotent God. Then this salvation is a delivering work. Just as God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, so the Lord Jesus Christ rescues his people from the slavery of sin. He removes them from the power of darkness. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
I want to tell you, there's no power so deep. There's no darkness so deep. There's no tyranny so monstrous, but that he is able to deliver you. That's the message. He is able to deliver. As Jeremiah tells us in chapter 50, if my memory's right, the 34th verse, their Redeemer is strong. A strong Redeemer. Bless God, today we have one who breaks the power of canceled sin, who sets the prisoner free. Our God is able to deliver. This is a divine work. The second thing that is obvious from the text is that it is a delivering work. He hath delivered us. Now, there are three strands of thought in this deliverance. First of all, there is the idea of rescue. The Greek verb that is translated deliver has in it, fundamentally, the idea of rescuing someone. So he has rescued us. The second strand of thought is the idea of removal. He has rescued us out of the power of darkness, out of the hand of the devil, out of that kingdom of Satan. And the idea is he has totally, completely, forever removed us. There is no return. He has taken us out of one realm and he's put us into another realm. He has taken us out of one sphere and he's placed us into another sphere. That's the idea. There's rescue, there's removal, and then there is the idea of reception. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I love the Authorized Version, by far and away the best English version, possibly the best translation of any language that has been made. But I have to say, I wish they had been a little more literal in the translation of the Greek text here. It's rather a weak, sort of an innocuous thing to say, the kingdom of his dear Son. What Paul said is, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The idea surely is here that he has translated, the word simply means transferred, us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The idea is clear that it's one of reception, not only into a kingdom, but into a kingdom of love. He has brought us into a relationship of grace and kindness. There is rescue, there is removal, there is reception. Now, of course, this shouldn't surprise us that we have these things in this word. Perhaps the greatest pictorial example you can get of this deliverance is going back to the Old Testament, where the Lord called Moses to go and bring Israel out of Egypt. Now, what did he do? He brought them out. Well, first of all, he found them. He says, I have seen, I am come down to deliver. I've seen, I've heard their cry, I'm come down to deliver. So he rescued them out of the what the prophet calls the iron furnace. He rescued them. They were slaves. They were in bondage. They had no power to deliver themselves. They could do nothing. But God says, I have come down, and I will, with a stretched out arm, with my strong right arm, I will lead them out. So he rescued them from the power that tyrannized them. Then he took them right out. He removed them. And there was no going back. And I want you to see how strong the purpose of God here is. Pharaoh came after them to bring them back. And he perished with the best of his charioteers in the sea. He couldn't bring them back. Then there were certain carnal wretches along in the crowd, and they wanted to go back. And the people, of course, were very unsteady. They were not trustworthy. You'd have thought, surely this people will turn back. But they didn't go back. He brought them out to keep them out. And he brought them out in order, he says, to bring them in. He rescued them, he removed them, and then he received them. Salvation has all of these elements. When the Lord saves, it's not only saving from. There's such an emphasis, especially in people's testimonies, on this saving from. And that's important. You're saved from the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, from the condemnation of sin. That's a salvation from. But we do less than justice to the Lord unless we emphasize the salvation unto. God has brought us out in order to bring us in, into the fullness that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the kingdom of darkness, out from that dark bondage of Satan, into the kingdom of his own dear Son. He has brought us in, first of all, to be subjects to Christ. Now, I want you to notice something, because this goes to the heart of an argument that has been raging in fundamentalism for quite a long time now, in what's called lordship salvation. This goes right to the heart of it. If people would only pay attention to what the Bible says and get off the stupidities of their own preconceived notions, and if they would only stop the obnoxious practice of creating straw men and knocking them down, thinking they've set down a whole school of theology, if they just stick with the Bible, we'd be a whole lot better off. He's talking about deliverance here. In the next verse, he's going to expound that as redemption. So this is fundamental. This is what happens to every Christian. It's deliverance to be a subject of the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Oh yes, he's receiving us into the love wherewith he loves his Son. But nonetheless, he's receiving us as subjects of the Son of God, of the King of grace. Now that's lordship. That is lordship. In other words, it is absolutely fundamental to the salvation of a sinner that if he is brought out from the bondage of darkness, he is brought into the liberty of the lordship of Christ. And let me emphasize that this is the perfect law of liberty. Let me emphasize that the lordship of Christ is freedom. those people who talk about being saved while willfully rejecting the Lordship of Christ are not saved. I'm going to make that statement absolutely plainly. People who think that they can sever Christ, and there is Christ my Savior from hell, and there is Christ the Lord of my life, and I can have this Christ while rejecting this Christ, they are fooling themselves. It's impossible. I'm sick listening to the vain excuses of people who ought to know better. Well, there's none of us has perfect obedience. Sure we don't, except in Christ. Sure, sanctification is a work in progress, but it is a work in progress. It is there. I am told that holiness is so important that without it no man shall see God. No man will be in heaven. When he delivers, he rescues, he removes, he receives. And that reception is bringing us into the liberty of having Christ as our Lord. A Lord of love, yes. A Lord of sympathy, yes. A Lord of infinite patience, yes. A Lord who picks up the fallen, who heals the wounded and the bruised, who will not bruise the smoking flax, quench that which would be obnoxious to us. He'll not bruise it or break it. He will come. He'll uphold us. But he's still our Lord. He's our King. And that's a great joy. Because you know what it's telling me? That in love, he is going to continue the delivering work. The Shorter Catechism will give you a very good definition of Christ our King and what he's doing. But as the King, one of his great works is to subdue us unto himself and to conquer both his enemies and our enemies. But fundamentally, subdue us unto himself. That's the work of Christ our King. Now, when God brings us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, saying that that Son of his love will act as King, he didn't just save you back then. He's still saving you today. He didn't just deliver you then. He's still delivering you today. This is an ongoing work. Or there is an aspect of salvation that's once for all and unrepeatable. Thank God you don't need to get saved over and over and over and over again. You must be born again. There was a wee man used to sing that, and he liked just to repeat, and he was stupid in what he said and never thought of the bad theology. And he was singing, you must be born again and again and again and again. Well, obviously you don't. That's nonsense. You're born again. You're justified freely, once and for all, and equally, all Christians. But you're constantly being saved. You're constantly being delivered. You're constantly being kept. You're constantly under the work of Christ, your King. So this is a delivering work.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.